Good afternoon and welcome to the afternoon business session for the Chelan County Public Utility District. I'd like to remind all of you that if you have an electronic device with you today, please be sure that it's in silent mode. We place great value on public input at our meetings, and since these meetings are recorded, if you wish to address any item on the agenda, please step forward to the microphones and state your name, address for the record, and if you would be kind enough to limit your comments to 3 minutes. So I think at this point, Steve, we have a public hearing.
We do. We have a public hearing to discuss the surplusing of 45-acre parcel located south of BB Bridge on US 297 in Douglas County. Vicki Griffin and Lisa Graves will be here to present. Although presentation, we've advised them, should be pretty short because we've been through this once before with this board. Checking in on public comment or any issues that might have arisen over the course of the last couple of weeks.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Lisa Graves with Real Estate Services.
Vicki Griffin.
Real Estate Department Manager. We were here a couple of weeks ago and introduced to you this potential surplus property transaction and sale to Douglas County Fire District Number 4. Went through a lot of the details. At that time, you had made a motion and set a hearing date for today to determine whether or not this 45-acre parcel of property is surplus. Staff ran notice of today's hearing in both the Chelan Mirror and the Wenatchee World. So, are there any questions? Would you like us to run over some of the details of this property?
Commissioners, what are your wishes? Are we feeling pretty briefed on the topic? I think we've pretty briefed on the topic already.
Good on that?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
So we can move right into the...
I think we'd be open to public comment if there is anyone who would like to comment.
Do we have any public comment?
We do have Fire Chief Odie here from the Fire District and two of his commissioners, Pat Brandt and David Martin. I think one of you would like to just offer a word or so.
So my name's Pat Brandt from Douglas County 4. Dave Martin and Jim Odie are here with me today. Just briefly, we started out in 1946 with our fire department out there, and we've expanded slowly. The state changes the regulations on the ratings bureau for the insurance ratings every year, and one of our key needs in the last 10, 15 years, even longer, has been a station further north or east of where we are. Our last station right now is at Greens Canyon Road, which is just about a mile this side of Lone Pine Fruit and Espresso. And so the people at the far end of the BB development and up McNeil Canyon are actually outside of this magic 5 miles from our station. And so they fall into what's called a Class 9 rating because they're more than 5 road miles away from a station. So we've been attempting to secure a piece of property up there off and on for 10, 12 years, and things have fallen through and changed. And so this is going to be an absolute ideal location for us. It's going to be good visibility. It's great access to the highway with lots of view down, up and down the road both ways. And it's going to fill a real need for us with the high-end development basically that's going in that BB property up north. Our district goes up about a mile and a half up McNeil Canyon, and then it changes to Bridgeport's district. We have what's called a mutual aid agreements with the districts all around us, and so we respond to anything up McNeil Canyon anyway from our end. And so all that area is going to be very well serviced with this station. So we're real happy that you guys have decided to work with us on this, and it's going to fill a real need. So I think it's going to be a great use for the property anyway. So thank you very much. Any questions or anything?
Nope. Just comment that it's a really good idea. It's going to serve a really good purpose. And in our society, when people volunteer to make a better community, you have a better community. And I think we need to support that every time we get an opportunity to. And this has a good result.
Couldn't agree with you more. We're 100% volunteer fire department, which most of the departments around here are, other than in the towns themselves. But and volunteering and being people happy and moving forward is a tough thing.
When Sunny Slope was a substation, my wife and I and our young children lived in that station for 2.5 years. You know, 24 hours on, 24 hours off, and was with Chelan County for 7.5 years. So I have heart and soul appreciation for what it is you do and how you do it.
You understand what 2 o'clock in the morning means.
I do. I understand what it means to get up and go right to, you know, work and then coach basketball and then get in your fire truck at night. So, yeah, but it makes a better community.
Great. Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate all you being here today.
Don't hesitate to reach out to us if there's anything else you guys need, any information.
Yep, you bet.
Great. Thank you.
Our suggestion was that because this was a separate action, that the board go ahead and take up this resolution at this time.
Okay. That's resolution number 10.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept resolution 10 as presented.
Second. Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on resolution number 10? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those against say nay. The ayes have it.
Gary, may I suggest that you just read the resolution?
Yes, I would be happy to read the resolution. So resolution number 10, which is a resolution declaring a 45-acre parcel of real property located south of Beebe Bridge on U.S. Highway 97 in Douglas County surplus to district needs and authorizing the general manager to execute a purchase and sale agreement with Douglas County Fire Protection District number 4. And that has just been approved.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lisa.
Okay, with that, we are going to turn to strategic planning. And I'm going to invite Justin Erickson to come up. We want to review where we are in the process, particularly survey results, and have a discussion with the board about some of the key findings that we would intend to, or recommend, I guess, to the board to include in the draft strategic plan that we would like to release at the next board meeting.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Justin Erickson, Managing Director of District Services. Really good to be with you this afternoon at this critical juncture with the plan. And I'm excited to jump in with you. So I'm going to go over the planning results. I'll be relatively brief since you've had an opportunity to digest those some, but happy to talk in depth in any particular spot along the way if you'd like to. I'm going to try to spend most of my time on the draft plan review, get down to the strategic objectives and priorities and the planned actions, and then conclude by having a look at the overall schedule. There's a pretty extensive appendix that's included in the presentation materials that has some additional survey information, key topics, summaries, and demographics. Not going to go through that unless you have questions, of course, and then I'd be happy to do so. So our survey consisted of four key parts. Part one, we tested PPB and early action criteria. Part two, we checked in with customers on preferences on key actions. And then we had four open-ended questions, at least four on the online version or a single open-ended question on the printed version. And then, of course, we kind of concluded the part four is some demographic information. So I'm going to focus on the first three parts. Now with demographic details are in that appendix that I mentioned earlier. In this first part, we asked customer owners to prioritize criteria that we could use to review projects. And as it turned out, our two topic teams that were related to this subject, the public power benefit and the early action criteria team actually coalesced around a consistent set of criteria. And so that allowed us to test these criteria for both key topics in a single question. And the top three that the public responded to were economic development, environmental stewardship, and recreational opportunities. So you might recall in the survey, there's seven options, and we asked folks to rank their priorities 1 through 7. And so the score in parentheses is the mean score, and the top three definitely stand out. So part two of the survey, then we had four questions that addressed the remaining key topics with some overlap, because we did have another question on relicensing. So question one, how strongly do you support local economic development? And please indicate the strength of your support by your willingness to accept potentially an increase in your monthly bill should our increased engagement in economic development result in the need for an increase potentially in rates. And you'll see that there's a majority, over 60%, had an appetite for economic development, even if it increased their bill. But you will note that appetite is relatively small. So 36% said 5%, about 19% said 10%, and then very small proportion after that, with 38.7% saying 0%. I like economic development, but not if it's going to impact my my bill. Next question was related to our opportunity with the Rock Island relicensing effort to engage in early action to support a longer license term. Overwhelming support to be engaged in this in that opportunity, even if there is the potential there to engage in activities that maybe otherwise would not be required through a traditional relicensing path. And then we asked about our fiber and water and wastewater business lines and asked individuals to, we first provide some context and some education on what the kind of the current status is and their level of subsidy. And then we asked, given that information, how would you like us to proceed? Lean more strongly towards subsidization or lean more strongly towards self-sustainability? And supermajority under both fiber and water and wastewater said balanced towards self-sustainability. So only about 15% in either case said, now we want you to lean the other way, even towards greater subsidization. And finally, we asked the public, given our rate situation of having some of the lowest rates in the country and knowing that we have not had a rate increase in many years, and understanding that markets are variable and that such a scenario could probably not persist long term, if and when rates are increased, how would you like your rate increase? Would you like it slow and steady or deferred as long as possible, while acknowledging that there'd be a risk then, a greater risk that should rates need to be increased, that they would be more substantially done, say, in a double-digit fashion. And about three-quarters...
Justin?
Yes, sir.
Back on the financially self-sustaining water, wastewater, and fiber, can you maybe share leans towards self-sustainability, what the sense is that that question truly means for my interpretation?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. In the context information before asking this question, we kind of set the stage by stating that acknowledging that those systems are modestly, I believe we use the word modest subsidization at present, And I think we noted something about operation and maintenance expenses generally being paid for through rates, and then major capital investments would be offset through wholesale energy sales. So I think I would characterize the balanced approach would be consistent with today's policy, and then leaning towards self-sustainability, or strongly leaning towards that, which is around 50% for both cases, then would be less subsidization than we have at present.
Thank you. I think that takes care of the answer.
Yeah, this would probably be a good place to interject to talk a little bit about the makeup of those that responded to the survey. So we did have a question on the survey where we asked customers to identify if they are a water and wastewater customer, so that we could know what percentage of those customers responded. Unfortunately, the way that was worded, it was kind of one of our lessons learned. It was confusing for the public, and we had about 85%, I think, at last count that said that they were water and wastewater customers, when I think really what they meant was, I'm a customer, I'm an electric customer. And because we didn't differentiate that in the survey, I'm not able to tell you accurately what percentage of water and wastewater customers replied. Okay, and I did cover this just before Commissioner Smith's question. So I'm going to conclude on the survey recap by talking about the open-ended questions. So we had four open-ended questions, and allowed for a lot of good responses. I think we had 3,700 total responses, which was really great to see. It made it challenging, though, to summarize in brief, but I did attempt to do so on this next slide. And so although the four questions are different, there was some consistent themes throughout, and the big three are the top three. So a lot of comment on the low rates, either appreciation for the low rates, a hope that they will continue, and then people that made comments about safeguarding that rate through the work that was done recently on cryptocurrency and the rate schedule associated therewith. And then fiber, pretty similar in terms of lots of appreciation for the service, or for those that we currently do not serve, a desire to be served in the future. And then a lot of comments, just general appreciation for the PUD, for customers, for our customer service, for the fact that we solicit responses and are engaged with the public through this survey and strategic planning and in other ways. So those top three collectively probably were 1,200 comments or so roughly about a third of the comments. And under that, still a substantial number of comments, but nothing like the numbers that we received for those top three. Okay, I'm going to shift gears now and talk about how we're preparing to transition and shift from what we heard now to what we're going to say in the draft strategic plan that you'll have shortly. So I think we're on really, really good footing with a plan that's going to be based on a compelling vision, the best for the most for the longest. And we know that our strong financial position, as you heard this morning, really puts us in a good opportunity, and this is an inflection point for us. At the same time, we know that the plan needs to be resilient, because none of us can predict the future. And the overall format is going to be very consistent. So we have a really good plan to date that we've followed consistently, and that you've been updated on quarterly, if not more. And so part of this plan is kind of a renewal of what we've got with some new things added, but you're going to see a lot of consistency in terms of the work that you did in the fall and the mission, vision, and values, and how that filters into our strategic priorities, objectives, and then on a more granular level on our five-year business plans and annual budget. So that said, here is where we are at the current draft form, and I really encourage feedback and on this slide and in others as as we draw to a conclusion this afternoon. So strategic priorities. First two are going to look pretty familiar. So invest in assets and people, and then seek industry top quartile performance. So some blending of what you have in the current plan with lots of discussion that we've had very recently on where we're headed when it comes to hydro generation, reliability, safety, and customer service technology. And then number two, sustain excellent financial resiliency while mitigating the risk of large rate increases. Number three, enhance the quality of life in Chelan County through programs that distribute the benefit of public power. So our current plan talks specifically about public power benefit. This broadens that discussion a little bit and harkens back to your discussion in late 2018 about mission and vision and putting quality of life really front and center. And then lastly, a proposed priority number four is engage in countywide growth planning and job creation efforts while ensuring the district's rates and policies remain stable and predictable. One of the things that we heard pretty loudly, I think, from the survey is an appreciation for economic development, knowing at the same time that that appreciation is capped by a desire to have policies in place that don't dramatically impact rates, and knowing, of course, that we've got some statutory limitations on what we can do with respect to economic development as well. But we've been very engaged. That we had, a topic team focused on economic development and wholesale and retail rates, and lots of engagement with the Port District and our cities and others. And so number four is designed to encapsulate that and put economic development a little bit more front and center.
Justin, could you pause for a second? For some reason, we've lost Commissioner Smith, and so okay. We're going to try and connect him here.
Hello.
Commissioner, hey. We paused to put you back in, but we've just finished going through the four elements of the draft strategic plan in terms of Justin identifying them, and we're ready for any conversation the board might want to have about that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I'm just going to pause here a moment and let you reflect and just check in with the commission. Any thoughts, concerns, questions on these four? Is this reflective of your thoughts and viewpoints? And
commissioners, any comments on the draft strategic plan for topics?
I guess I would have a question, maybe more for Justin and Steve. What would goal four look like in the eyes of our senior management?
In some respects, we seek to define this later in this package where we describe the specific actions that we would take around growth in particular. What the types of things that came out of the topic team is consideration for something like the development of an industrial hub, although limited because even the topic team said don't go too far because you take the risk of creating stranded assets. So a lot of the permitting, licensing, maybe some of the design work even could be done, but stopping short of actually spending the big dollars that come with establishing infrastructure. Reviewing the opportunities for wholesale versus retail sales, some of the work that we began a couple of years ago to identify what the actual impacts would be if you take into account things like property tax and potential income growth in the county, and make that part of the decision-making process. But I think the key element is that we create clarity around if there are things that we are considering doing, that there's a limitation on the cost. Hmm. And it comes back to the survey results. So the survey results said close to 75% of the respondents said, if you're going to do this, it needs to be at 5% or less rate impact total. Just from these actions, incremental impact. So it's not 5% per year, it's 5% total. And so that really places a limitation on how far you can go, honestly. There's in our business model, it is common for utilities to support economic development and make investments that cause rates to go up. What is unique about Chelan PUD is the extent to which we rely on wholesale revenues. And if you lean in on an activity like this, the potential size of the rate increase that could be incurred. And our customers seem to get that very clearly, and they sent a very strong signal with respect to that. Some activity in the economic development arena, but you would total up what all, the cost is of all those activities, and it can't be more than 5%. And you certainly wouldn't want to do 5% in the first year because you would be done at that point. So it's phasing in through time with some modest level of effort, working with the economic development community in Chelan County. Is that responsive, Commissioner Smith?
That is very clear, and I thank you. You bet.
Thank you. Any other comments before we continue? Okay, you will obviously see these again at your next meeting. We'll have an opportunity to discuss again if you feel the need to do so. Strategic objectives. These seven items were actually refined in the fall, late 2018. There's been the first four are exactly the same as the current strategic plan. Number seven was one that you added in the fall. And then number five and six have been kind of further refined through this process. And so I will focus on those two. On five, we kind of broadened the language and focused on seek operational excellence through continuous improvement mindset. So getting to kind of the cultural shift, if you will. But we didn't want to lose the areas of emphasis. So you'll see those noted in parentheses. And then number six, we had advanced human performance, and we added advanced human and organizational performance. So fairly subtle changes there. Hearing no discussion, I will then conclude on planned actions, which is a series of significant actions that will be outlined in the draft plan and that we want to make sure you're comfortable with. And they are organized by key topic. So under public power benefit is where we will begin. Under our planning process, this program will be retained so long as financial resources are in place to support the effort. We know that the financial criteria need to be examined and modified to provide for continuation of the program should the PUD re-enter the capital borrowing market. And the program criteria will be updated in 2020, and projects will be solicited from the public. So in 2020, we will update the criteria, do a solicitation process, and that criteria I spoke of is also covered under number two with the financial criteria. Very consistent with the course of action outlined in the topic team report. So probably no surprises there, but are there any additional questions or comments? Okay, early action. For early action, we will solicit recreation and environmental early actions. We will do so in 2020 and proceed with preliminary assessments. So we'll do some level of due diligence, engage some, probably spend some money on assessment and consulting, but relatively modest amounts while we kind of vet these efforts with our partners. And in doing so, we will partner and obtain commitments to support a 50-year license. And so it will be made clear that this, the consideration and ultimately if we move forward with any early actions, that it's done so with the understanding that we get that support from the partnering agency.
I'm going to add a little bit of emphasis on this one. So we've already run into an issue where potential project sponsors for early actions needed some financial help just to do the early work. And so we're thinking that, you know, some just to define modest, we're thinking maybe up to $100,000, $150,000 would support those kinds of things. So it's not half million. It's not a million. It's nothing like a big PPP program, something in that range. And it just gives us some flexibility so that if somebody has a good idea but they're not able to develop it, that we have the ability to be able to respond to that.
Thank you. Okay, under growth and economic development, we will engage on countywide economic development and growth matters. And here you see the reference to minimal rate impacts, so 5% or less incremental. We mentioned the concept of economic hubs or electrical hubs. And so we're going to explore that concept further and see how we can concentrate industrial load and minimize that risk of stranded assets. Going to move forward with industrial rate structure analysis and look at costs and impacts of growing retail loads versus wholesale. And pursue this concept of an ombudsperson position, so someone that's a direct line of contact between the PUD and the ports and other potential large customers or those that would facilitate that, such as the port district. And we're going to actively explore a hybrid renewable resource-based rate that provides for full cost recovery. And on aesthetics, you might recall that with aesthetics, we did have a survey that was conducted earlier in the process, and so that's why I did not provide an update on aesthetic survey results to you earlier. But based on that survey and our review, we're going to retain the current policy for customer-requested aesthetic improvements of existing infrastructure, such as undergrounding of power lines, where those who benefit basically will pay for that cost or that added cost, the incremental difference between above ground and underground, for instance. Okay, long-term rate planning. With respect to fiber, water, and wastewater, so fiber business lines, we feel like that business can be financially self-sufficient by the end of the next five-year rate implementation period. And so feel pretty comfortable with that one. As we look at water and wastewater, and we're still continuing to do that analysis now, it appears today that they will not be able to achieve financial self-sufficiency within the five-year planning period, but that we can lean more heavily that direction while still minimizing overall rate impacts. So keeping the rates in an upward trajectory, but still fairly modestly. And then number three is probably one where you may have some more questions or discussion on, recollect back to the survey and this idea of safeguarding against large double-digit rate increases, which were supported by about three-quarters of the respondents said want protection against that, and I'm willing to look at small incremental increases to protect me from that. And so number three would establish a rate stabilization fund, and that fund would be paid for through 3% annual rate increases. The rate work would be done administratively in 2020, and the rate increase would likely go into effect in 2021. And concurrent with that process, we also heard pretty loudly through the survey concerns expressed from about it, rate impacts to fixed income and low income community members. And so part of this effort would be a commitment to also evaluate those programs along with our energy efficiency program so that we can provide some measured relief if those rate increases are put in place.
I'd like to add two things to this. First, for the fiber business line, our intention, at least at this point, is to include proposal that there be a 3% annual rate increase for fiber for each of the years. That's what gets us to financial self-sufficiency for that business. We do not, at this point, have a proposal for water and wastewater, but we hope to have one by the time of the draft plan coming out on the 19th. So we've got some more work to do. They were pretty close, but not quite there yet to make a recommendation to you. And then finally, on the last one, we also are assuming that we would be doing taking action on the rate design issues, which haven't been addressed for a long time here, in order to make sure that we're getting to a fair cost recovery, and would likely implement that in the 2020 timeframe. And that's part of the reason for getting after these low-income and energy efficiency programs in that same time frame, because we want to make sure that we've addressed any concerns that might be out there about how changes in rate design could, and we're not sure whether they will or not, but could impact low-income customers.
Any closing comments on the planned actions? Okay. I'll conclude then with an overview of the schedule. So we, based on your comment and feedback this afternoon, feel confident we can finalize our draft plan, present that to you on August 19th. Following August 19th, then there'd be a period where that plan would be available publicly for review and comment, approximately a month or a little less than a month. And then we'd be back before you on September 16th for your consideration of an adopting resolution. That concludes my presentation. Again, another about, I think, 12 or 14 pages of appendix materials. If you've got any questions on the survey or demographics or other portions of the presentation, I'm happy to go in depth.
Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Smith, any question? All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I will see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you.
So I couldn't find my mute button because it's now no questions, though.
Thank you. Thank you, Randy. Okay, so I guess we're off onto the consent agenda.
We are.
So, commissioners, we have a consent agenda in front of us. Is there a motion to accept the consent agenda?
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Yeah, so we had something to add. Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing no discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 And that's unanimous. So consent agenda carries. We're on to the regular agenda.
And because we moved items 18 and 19 into the consent agenda, agenda 20 is a resolution ratifying field work order change orders numbers 1 through 7 and approval of field work order change orders number 8 through 10 to contract 18-37 to contract 18-37 with Michaels Corporation Power Division for the Chelan County LED Streetlight Conversion Program. Jim White is here along with Ingrid Miller to discuss this program. This is status report. We're close to finished with this one. So, Jim, take it away.
Thank you, Steve. Yes, Jim White, Senior Energy Efficiency Engineer for Chelan PD, obviously, and with me, Ingrid Miller, who's here, done the numbers. So this is not the final closeout on this project. We're just here to get the approval on the change orders that have been done to date and to let you know that overall the project, even though we're coming in for a change order, this project is under budget. So there, with the help of grant funding and other things that came in with a really favorable grant bid that we received initially, overall this project is, we've replaced every street light in the county. And we define a street light if it's halfway or more over a street, it's a street light. If it's not, it's an area light. So we've tried to hit every street light in the county, and that's a close about 3,800 of the lights have been have been changed, and to my knowledge, have not heard any great concerns or problems with it, or the number of complaints has been very low. We can go into specifics on the individual change orders. Again, we have, of the total project cost, 57% of it is covered by the district. We have the Transportation Improvement Board grant funding paid for approximately 30%. And then the Commerce grant, they provided another 13%. So,
it was not our intent to go through each one of the change orders today, just to give you an overall sense of where the project is and then allow there to be questions from you if there's anything in particular that you wanted to ask about.
We don't anticipate any further costs coming in. We're just, so there'll be a final closeout later, probably in September.
So all the work's been completed at this point?
There are, out of the 3,800 lights, there are 60 they're still working on. But the project, as far as Michael's, is completed. The contract is complete, yes.
So at some point, there has been an issue, a long-standing apparently, but recently uncovered issue with respect to grounding of the lights in Kashmir. And there's unfortunately, that has to be work with labor and industries. And so that has not been brought to resolution yet. I'm working hard with the city on that subject and hoping to be able to bring it to a resolution, but that should not implicate this contract.
Right. Some more coordination work between the Chelan PUD and the city and complete that. But as far as this contract with this contractor, their work is, they've done everything they were contracted to do and are complete.
Just some quick feedback mm-hmm. for your information. I think you would enjoy this. We had a family reunion at our house this weekend. We had about 40 people there, and I think it was a Thursday night. We're sitting on the deck, and people were talking about the, well, that's a cool light over there, and but look at how dark the sky is. And I don't know if you read this in any media, but there was a meteor that, two meteors, and we saw one of them that came in. What do they call super meteors? And it looks like fireworks when they enter the sky. And so our family from out of town was able to enjoy the benefit of the lights and talked about how nice it is to be there and see bright lights and yet dark skies. And so I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
All right. If there are no questions, then that is the only resolution, but it would require action by the board.
Commissioners?
I have a comment. Oh,
yes.
Well, let's go ahead and do the action first.
Well, if you want to make your comment, go ahead.
I just want to ask Jim White. So you are going to come back in 2 weeks?
Not yet. No, we're still working on the details of that.
On the details of your,
this project and other project. Yep, I'm a contender.
So we're looking forward to hearing more about that.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
That's all good. Kind of off. Sorry.
No, that's good. Thank you for that input. Yeah. We're all anxious to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, keep us posted. So we have a motion, or we have a resolution. To. I hear a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we accept resolution number 20 as presented, a resolution ratifying field work order change. Order numbers 1 through 7 and approval of field work order change orders numbers 8 through 10 to contract 18-37 with Michaels Corporation Power Division for the Chelan County LED streetlight conversion.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Unanimous.
Great.
So it passes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I do.
One thing, too. I do want to compliment Ingrid. She's done it. This project has touched about every aspect of the PUD and every city, government, county. She's done a phenomenal job of pulling together the numbers on this project. And it's in the grant funding agencies and dealing with everything. It's really just been done an incredible job.
Can I make a comment? Obviously, Jim White's really good at what he does, but I did want to make a comment from the Department of Commerce. They were really impressed with this project. I know it was really complicated, and we had extensions, but they did say they were very impressed with how we are doing the whole county. We're the only ones in the state doing a whole county, working with different agencies, and the level of scale of this, how large it was, in the amount of detail working with all the agencies, and the fact that we broke the contract work down. One unique one was by mobilization, demobilization, the safety part of this. They'd never seen it before. In fact, they'd never heard of it. So it was something that they were going to add to their plan. So it was a good one.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. Yeah, it's really good. And little feedback. I've talked to a county commissioner who also said thank you to the PUD for doing that and throughout the entire county. So they really, our county commissioners appreciate it.
Even the mayor.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Randy. Yeah.
Well, even with all the glitches in Cashmere, I know the city of Cashmere, the mayor has shared with me how appreciative he is of the work we've done with them.
And the construction contractor, Michaels, was also really good to work with. They were very, very good to work with.
Yeah. Commissioner Smith?
Yeah.
Randy, yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We just need to work to get the people in Cashmere grounded.
All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep. And if you ever wanted to create schizophrenia, bring all the agencies in one county together at one time. Yeah, and manage that. So nice work.
With that, we're finished with the regular agenda, and I was prepared to move to manager items, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I want to invite Chad Bowman to come up and talk about outreach on the Plain Lake Wenatchee transmission project that we brought before you a month, 6 weeks ago.
So good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Chad Bowman, the director of transmission. I thought real quickly just give you a quick refresher about the project that we're talking about, which is really a wildfire and weather resilience project on the transmission system to protect that infrastructure, as was identified in the 2015 strategic plan. Just really quickly, the town of Plain is here. The Lake Wenatchee substation is up here. Coles Corners right here. The Anderson Canyon switchyard is way down at the bottom. Currently served by a line constructed in the early 30s. Red dot comes up across here. Our wildfire study identified some spots here and over here at high risk to wildfire damage. So we proposed a couple different alternatives that we've been talking about at three meetings now with the community. One is to really rebuild the infrastructure in its existing alignment, or the other one is to go up the plain over to Lake Wenatchee, which there's a number of different variations in that theme. No preferred route pick, no thing, nothing like that. We're just very interested in hearing from the community what their thoughts might be on those efforts. Questions on the project?
Chad, maybe I'm just too far away and my eyesight's too bad, but the red lines there coming off the yellow main line, what does that designate?
That's part of the existing line that we would, in either alternative, propose to rebuild in the existing alignment with steel.
Thank you.
But that's distribution, right?
115.
Yeah.
Part of the McKenzie-Beverly line. Mm-hmm. So like I mentioned, we've had three community meetings, two of them in Plain, really back-to-back, a stakeholder outreach discussion followed by a drop-in session. Really important to recognize that we're proposing this as a resilience project, fire and weather resilience. So we did hear from a few folks in Plain, really, that our reliability is, as they put it, good enough, and there's probably they see limited need to do a project like this. I think by and large, the folks that we heard from in Plain were supportive of rebuilding the infrastructure in its current alignment, and voiced some aesthetics concerns about the continuing up the Chumstick and that wide white swath that's indicated on the map. We followed those Plain meetings up with another drop-in session in Leavenworth on July 27th. The tone at that session was a bit different. Folks there seemed to understand our desire from a operations and maintenance perspective to move the facilities over to that wide white swath there, really from an access ease of maintenance perspective. Although at the same time, most of them also said that, well, we can't see it from where we live, so we understand why you would want to move there, but we ourselves probably aren't impacted as much as others might be. So really, we've heard probably overall from about 40 people, knowing there's 3,400 customers up there. We've got some vacations that have ended recently, trying to get together in the next couple of days to really think about next steps on the outreach, how we might hear from more folks up there, get some educated thoughts back from them. Certainly interested in any thoughts y'all might have on direction and next steps, and really thinking in terms of next steps to bring back a more formal presentation later this probably summer or fall about what we have heard and what we think that means.
So, Chad, that proposed new transmission line, it looks like that's through pretty rugged country, isn't it?
Actually, it's the existing transmission line is very hard to get to. The proposed new one generally follows the Chumstick Highway.
Oh, it does?
Up and around the Plain.
Oh. Hmm. Oh, there it says that right there. Well, it says it crosses it, yeah. Okay.
So the part that I would add in terms of lesson learned is I did hear from a number of the customers in Plain recollections of their experience of a discussion around a similar proposal from 10 years ago, 10, 15 years ago. And their concern is, here you are back again, what's changed? And I think what we need to do more of is explain what's changed in the last 5 years. So a lot has changed in the utility industry, as you all know. We need to better describe the California fires. We need to describe that it's both an issue of being able to protect your infrastructure, but also the risk of ignition from your infrastructure that creates liability. The pretty significant mortality that occurred in California as a result of fires that were most likely started by electrical infrastructure, the impacts on insurance, what we've already begun to see, and the risk that we see that we think it's going to increase through time. We probably need to do some more in that arena to be able to better describe to people that a lot has changed in the last 5 years that causes us to, I would say it would be a dereliction of our duty to not address this issue, to raise it and say the world out there is now a different place, and there's some pretty substantial exposure for all of our customers, not just the customers who live in that area, as a result of what we now know.
That sounds really good. How are you going to put that out there?
Well, we have some work to do. That would be in the category that Chad said, we need to bring some stuff back to you.
All right.
I think we need to work on that.
Steve?
Yeah.
I think that conversation that you just started would fall on very fertile ground, especially in Lake Wenatchee, given the fires we've had around us.
Yeah, I think there's two times a year where, you know, I have some real concern about the inaccessibility. 0 degrees in the wintertime when the snow is really deep, and trying to get crews in and out of there to do repair. you know, I think create some safety hazards that I think if we could avoid and injury possibly to our crews, I think we ought to take a look at that. And then the second season is when it's 100 degrees. And again, you know, you put people's lives in jeopardy in both of those cases, where if we could make an alternative choice that has greater access and reduces the possibility of injury or fatality to our own crews, it is our obligation to, you know, explore that and, you know, make the best choice moving forward. But there's some of those areas that are, you just can't get to.
It's definitely true.
But I know we will make our best effort to, you know, which is the jeopardy that we place our crews in. And if we can avoid that, I think it's a better decision.
I have to echo what you're saying, Dennis. I think that's true. I was just at a wedding up in the Plain area where a local person pulled me aside and described what he had seen some years ago in terms of a repair crew coming in, and their vehicle was towed up the mountainside by a bulldozer to get to the line to be able to do the repair. And while that's very impressive and it's still burned in this person's memory as the commitment of SLAM PUD, but that does put our crews at risk. And I think we need to do things, whatever we can, to mitigate any of the risks that our people face.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was 2007. Our crews would cut their way in the morning,
right,
repair lines, and then cut their way back out in the afternoon because the lines were coming down around them. And, you know, I just think that if we can make it more accessible and not put people in jeopardy, again, I'm repeating myself, but it just concerns me.
Thank you, gentlemen.
We have more to do, obviously.
Thank you.
So,
yeah.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks.
I want to invite Michelle Smith to come up. She's got a series of items. I believe one of them she was going to. She was here. She stepped away. Okay. Oh, there she is. Look at that. Talk about just in time.
I don't think the county is going to make it, so I'll just go ahead and proceed without them.
Okay. Or you could do the first two items and see if they show up.
Let's try that. I think they said 2:30, though. We'll hope for the best. Michelle Smith, Director of Hydro Licensing. I'm here to just give you a quick update under manager's items for three projects. Two of them are related to early action having to do with the strategic planning for 2020 through 2024. The third one is just kind of a good news update, so I'm going to start with that one. Not that the other two aren't good news, but this one is short and I think would be a good one to start with. So. On July 8th, we received approval from the FERC, from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, to remove a lingering new license requirement that we've had for Daroga State Park. It had to do with a short trail that was supposed to go along the waterfront, and it was the one remaining item that we had with state parks. We had a subsequent discussion with them. Looking at this trail, it was going to be relatively expensive because of the shoreline work that had to be done. And so talking with State Parks and WDFW, we decided to not do the small trail, mainly because both WDFW and State Parks agreed that it would be actually removing some native habitat that they found valuable to the area. So we submitted to FERC approval to remove that last remaining item from our settlement agreement and the recreation plan for Rocky Reach. They approved that on July 8th. So we are now complete with all of our recreation items for Daroga Park and Lincoln Rock State Park with the settlement agreement for those two recreation items.
Great.
So, wow.
Good.
That's good.
You know. Good work.
Yay. Yeah. The second item and the third item too are both related to the strategic planning. And reflecting on the customer survey that came out and some of the results you've heard, We know that environmental and recreational opportunities is important for our community. And there were a couple projects that we had learned about, both through the early action committee that was formed during the strategic planning, and also just in discussions we've had over the past year. One has to do with a park near Malaga, and probably more importantly than just a park is river access. So that's one project we've been hearing from other folks about the potential for. The second one has to do, second project has to do with the Harran area. So I'm going to start with the Harran area and then get back to Malaga, just in case Mike Caputa from the county can be here. So the Harran area, we decided to start some early work. This is very preliminary work. But the city of Wenatchee, as you may have heard through the news, is starting to do planning and is looking at a confluence parkway, a roadway that would basically be directly adjacent to the park, and actually they want to remove part of the park to have this parkway transverse along the railroad through part of our park on the northern side. And what we were looking at possibly is losing about 10 acres of our park there. And also the impacts of having a confluence parkway. It's a 35-mile-an-hour proposed roadway. A lot of good reasons for having it. There's optimism that we can get through this and figure out a win-win. But what was happening is we had a lot of stakeholder interest, along with state parks and ourselves, in preserving that very natural area that we call the Harran Natural Area. And as we started talking to stakeholders like the Audubon Society and others, we realized that the Confluence Parkway environmental process likely wouldn't get to some of the issues that they were bringing up, and it really wouldn't do the long-term planning and the visioning that needed to occur for that area. That is something we would normally do in relicensing. And the last planning that was done for that area was in the 1980s. It was the mid-1980s. So we decided as an internal team that maybe we should start looking at some, we're calling it strategic visioning, for that area together and kind of arm-in-arm with state parks, but trying to look at what would make the best ecosystem in that area with all of these influences factored in. So parkway or some other adjacent landowner ideas that might come in. So we are doing that. We're starting to meet with stakeholders. We anticipate this will be a public process. Right now, we're meeting directly with key stakeholders, the tribes and state fish and wildlife and the Audubon and Friends of the Harran and all of these stakeholders. Then we'll take it to a couple of workshops, and we anticipate those being public workshops, where we want to know what the community has to say about that area and also help us with that planning. We're hoping to have that report completed by the end of January of 2020. So it's about a 5 to 6 month effort. And then we will use that to advise the Confluence Parkway, NEPA, the environmental process that they're going through.
I want to applaud you for that. Way to look ahead and be, you know, be ahead of the game on that. And I for one, am very interested in that. I'd like to be involved any way that I can.
Okay, certainly. And we would let the board know when those public sessions were coming up. Right now we're in the kind of early planning stages of all of that, but as soon as we have some dates, I will make sure that you are apprised of those dates.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Michelle.
So Michelle, in terms of the community outreach, what form would that take in terms of involving the community?
It's a great question. We're planning right now, we're putting together our outreach plan, and what we're thinking is we would hold a public workshop. So we would set that up in a public place. I don't know if it'd be CTC or something like that. Do our normal marketing. I'd work with our communications department to get people there. And basically just make that kind of an open house environment where we would probably do a presentation and then invite input and sharing of ideas in terms of what the community would like to preserve. Just some thoughts that they might have in terms of how they use the area.
Right.
Education is probably one of our greatest assets there. It's a great place for both cultural and wildlife education, and for schools and children and people. It's just we're thinking that's probably where things are going to go, and that's what we would try and manage and maintain for the future.
That's great. Thank you for doing that. Appreciate that. Yes, Commissioner.
Do you have more? Do you want me to ask my question? Do you have more, Michelle?
That's all I had on that subject.
Okay, so I'm just I just don't remember where we are on this, the business of the confluence, the proposed Confluence Parkway, and the fact that we would lose how much of our park. 10 acres?
So the proposed route for the parkway along the railroad, if you can imagine that long trail area that goes right along, that's anywhere between 8 and 10 acres, mm-hmm. that if you try and put a roadway and move the park, mm-hmm. or the trail, towards the Horan area, our real estate services have estimated that could be between 8 and 10 acres. So just to let you know, we're looking at asking for that acreage to be replaced. So there could be opportunities, but we haven't gotten that far along yet to get into detail.
So you and who and others are advocating for us or are representing the PUD in this,
we're at the table
and yes. watching out for our.
Yes. Because of our FERC license, Commissioner, we are
We're required, aren't we?
We're required. Yes, we would have to get FERC approval no matter what happens at the end of the day. Any changes to that park, we would require FERC approval. So we have to have a good plan and justification and environmental analysis to support that filing.
Yeah, and those who are promoting this are well aware of that.
Yes.
By now, I would.
Yes, we have been. Yes, we've been stating that very strongly.
Good, good, good. I know nobody's going to push Michelle around because I watched Michelle during the Chelan licensing during forums with hundreds of people, and she's very small and. Was very young at the time, and nobody pushed her around once. It was amazing.
But I am older now and softer. In a lot of different ways.
But still Mike.
Yep. Thank you for saying that.
That is a compliment.
Thank you.
So, Michelle, if Mike is coming, maybe we could take a couple of other items, if you can hang around for a bit, because I feel bad about him coming over.
Yes,
and then
I agree.
Not
and
having
I,
him
I also
here.
Think that Commissioner Overbay might be joining him, so it's probably a good idea.
Okay. So we don't have a lot left, I'll be honest, but we can try and take the other items and see if we can get them in. So if that's okay with commissioners?
Yeah.
So actually, the next item is the commissioner items.
The commissioners... do we have any items to discuss?
I just have a comment.
Please, yeah.
I was here really early this morning. I think I wanted to get out of the house because all my grandsons are there and I needed a break. But anyway, since I was here early, I just walked downstairs and went to customer accounts. You know, the main window, Justin, what do we call that? Anyway, off the street where people come in and pay their bill. And just spent some time down there and talked to some of the folks. And I was going to say their names now, but I can't come up with them. But anyway, it was really interesting and really fun. I always plan on doing that, and I haven't done it. But we just talked about what do they hear? What do people what do people say when they come in off the street? What's their biggest complaint? What do they like? So it was really great. It was really really fun, valuable time for me. And then I went down the hall to security and visited with them for a while. You guys probably do more of that than I do, but I would encourage you to do that. I learn more doing something like that than anything else that I've done here. I don't get out to the projects. I think you do. I should get out to the projects more often. I go by Rocky Reach all the time, and I just keep right on driving. But that's really important. And they like talking to us. I think they really appreciate it. So, that's all.
Just, Randy, to you and to the recruiter staff, thanks for pulling the July meeting together in Leavenworth, and to Steve and Phyllis for hosting a wonderful evening at their place along the river. And, again, good feedback from commissioners I spent time talking with, and nice work.
Well, Dennis, as a follow-up on that, my thanks goes out to the staff at the utility for everything they did in hosting that association event. I think our commissioners from all over the state were literally blown away by the tour that they got of Rocky Reach Dam. And there were four tour guides up there, and that just I think that really stunned a lot of people that we were willing to step up and really show them a quality presentation. So thanks to Bob Bauer and Debbie Gallagher and a variety of others in that whole event.
Well, I would like to just chime in and say that I had the ability and go to a safety meeting for the fiber group and had an opportunity, a fiber group, yes. And at the meeting, really shook a few hands and said hi to folks, but for the most part, just sat back and kind of watched. And I, without even really taking any kind of an active role, I think there is indeed an appreciation for a commissioner to be in the audience to demonstrate and lend credibility to the seriousness with which we all take safety. But even more importantly, the safety group, of course, did a great presentation to us prior to rolling it out to all the crews. But they had one additional video, which we did not see here, which I found fascinating. And it was talking about, of course, the consequences of lack of safety. And so it never ceases to amaze me how much I learn by attending the safety meetings and just things that kind of the light bulb moment goes off over your head and you realize that how critical all this stuff is. But anyway, I would highly encourage it to all the commissioners that, like I said, staff just is very appreciative. It don't even necessarily have to talk to you, maybe shake your hand and that's all it takes, but there's a lot of smiles to know that you care enough to come to the meeting. So definitely encourage it.
Is this the video on the guy that got run over by two trucks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't see that one. And obviously, he didn't see it coming either.
His own truck ran over him, and then the guy that was in front of him jumped out to help him, and his truck backed over him and then went down the hill. And oh, my gosh. It was...
The other thing I would like to have a second to talk about, and this was an opportunity that was provided to me. Thank you, Dennis. I attended the Energy Northwest board meeting, and fascinating. I had not been to one. It had occurred to me that in all my years as a commissioner, I had not been to an Energy Northwest board meeting, and so I found it hugely fascinating. Had the opportunity to sit there with my jaw open listening, but one of the things that really impressed me, and it had more to do with our utility, and that is that we are so fortunate here. And I'm glad I'm saying this on a recorded line, that we are so fortunate here, and it's not just good fortune, but I think good stewardship and good management, that our finances are in such wonderful shape that as I listen to other agencies and organizations who are struggling to find ways and alternative methods of revenue generation, that it is all the more aware I become of our utility and what it is we're able to bring to our ratepayers in this county, and the beauty of our low-cost, carbon-free hydroelectric projects. Wonderful gift that we have in this county. I'm done now.
Okay, good. Did you want to, were you?
Yes, thank you. Well, one other thing, thanks, Steve. I brought this and almost forgot about it. One other thing that I wanted to mention, and this goes out to all the residents of Chelan County that are Chelan County PUD customers, as well as employees of Chelan County PUD, that the American Public Power Association is offering through the end of September a rebate on the purchase of a brand new Nissan Leaf vehicle based upon the type of vehicle that you purchase, the model. They will rebate to you $3,500 or $2,500. This is on top of the federal rebate of $7,500 on the purchase of a new Nissan Leaf vehicle. So this is to demonstrate the benefit of being a public power customer, and not just in Washington State, but across the country, that the Public Power Association is where. I have an extra one of these for you. But I just, again, impressive that the Public Power Association is stepping up and taking steps towards carbon-free America and providing those kind of rebates for electric vehicles.
All right. It looks like we have been joined by folks from the county, so we'll take the item that we delayed. Michelle, would you like to come back up and introduce your guests?
Hey, Michelle Smith again, Director of Hydro Licensing. I'd like to have Mike Caputa. Mike is the Director of Chelan County Natural Resources Department. And then he is also joined by Commissioner Overbay, who is in the audience. We wanted to give you just a briefing on some work we've been doing preliminarily for the Malaga area. And this is an offshoot of the strategic planning early action effort. Again, really early stage. We're taking very small steps here, but we wanted to at least let you know what we're doing and why. And so Mike and I are here to give you a little bit of a briefing on that. I'm going to start, and then I'll let Mike talk about the county's role and their involvement in this. So one of the project ideas that came out of the early action topic team during the strategic planning was a group there that had an interest and expressed a desire to have river access and a park down in the Malaga area. And so we thought that could be considered a good early action project, since river access is a huge component of our recreation review during relicensing. So when we say early action, of course, we're talking about actions before we go through relicensing and get a license for Rock Island Hydroelectric Project, which would happen in 2028, so sometime from now. And in that discussion, we started talking to the county, who also expressed an interest in looking at a park and access down there. And so about a month ago, Mike called me and said, hey, how'd you like to partner? And maybe we start by just looking at whether there's any showstoppers here, one of which being railroad crossing, which is, we figured, would be kind of the one step we have to make to see if there's a possible way to get across that railroad. So we worked together, did an agreement to work together, and that is a small step we're taking to see if that could potentially cause a hiccup or be so costly that we have to look at other means of trying to get to a point where we can move forward. But until the board approves early action and approves our strategic plan, I just want you to know that this is just really early stuff we're doing in anticipation that if there's any showstopper, at least we'd be this far along to know if we can proceed with this effort. So I'll turn it over to Mike to talk a little bit more about the project and what we're doing with that study.
Yeah, thanks, Michelle. Thank you, Commissioners, Steve. it was exciting to talk about the Malaga Park idea because we had done a countywide shoreline public access evaluation about 4 years ago. And we use standard sort of National Park Service and state criteria to evaluate water access across the county. And the Malaga area is the top priority for providing water access. It is the biggest gap area across the county. So I think there's just been a confluence of events that have sort of led us to our point today. In talking with Michelle and others, I mean, taking a look at this first step, you know, the railroad crossings is a really smart thing to do. We actually have some experience working with the railroad in the Nason Creek area, so we were able to leverage some of those relationships, bring on Hanson Engineers, and they're working with us to do that initial feasibility. So we're excited about that. We're excited about the partnership with you to move forward with that. Of course, as Michelle has said, you know, we're at the very initial stages of this, right? We still need to do some outreach with the Malaga community and determine what kind of a facility are we talking about. There's a lot more around real estate and the county road and, you know, all of that feasibility that we have to go through. But it's exciting to at least take this first initial step. So thank you for that, and thank you for the partnership.
Maybe I'll just take a moment and put this in context relative to the conversation we had earlier today as well. So this would be part of an early action relicensing process for Rock Island. recall that when we went through the draft strategic plan that we included a section there that said we might provide some small, very modest amount of dollars to help projects that might qualify for early action so that at least they could be formed enough to determine whether they're worthy of being pursued or not. This would fall into that category. So we're actually trying to catch up with where these guys are by creating a funding mechanism to support it, but it seemed like a good idea, seemed to fit with our whole approach to where we're going with early action, certainly with the 82% of the customers that said they were interested in having us pursue early action. So we decided to step out and see if we could get this done.
Commissioners, any comments?
No, I just think there needs to be some, continued, future thinking. And I'm using the term Wenatchee as a catch-all phrase, not a specific geographic designation. But you keep hearing that Wenatchee can only go up and not out. And when I look at the Malaga area, it's certainly an area that can go out. And I think is certainly worthy of development and has the potential of development. And with the development that's going to ultimately come, we need to be thinking as early as we can about open space and for the future of the citizens there and the children who are there. And so I think it at least fits with this commissioner's thinking about the future of that area.
Yeah. I think this is a great first step. I'm really encouraged by this and anxious to learn more as you proceed, so please keep me in the loop.
Yes. We will promise to bring back information as we get it. So
great.
We're excited.
Good.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Commissioner, thank you for coming today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner Overbay. Thanks, Mike.
With that, we are up to Commissioner Travel. Lisa, we actually called her in a couple times, I think, now. So sorry about that, Lisa. We thought maybe we'd get her in before lunch. And now, ready for you.
It's okay. So I'm Lisa Sanders. I'm now the official admin and legal.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Or working with Eric. Condolences.
It's all good. So we're getting close to the end of the year. I mean, we don't have a lot of trips left. We have Commissioner Congdon traveling to Kalispell, and I've made some arrangements after this printed. So your hotel is made and your RSVP is made.
Good.
For September WAPUTA meetings, we have rooms held for everyone except Commissioner Congdon. Does everyone else still plan to attend?
Yes.
Yep, as long as it remains under my control.
Yes.
Lisa, I may need to talk with you about my arrival date. I have accepted the opportunity to work a little bit with a committee that will meet pre-function here, so I may have to go over early. And I'll let you know more as soon as I find out.
Okay. Thank you. We have a water workshop in Leavenworth later in September. So I have everyone attending, and Commissioner Congdon will need a hotel room. Is that right?
I will not be attending.
You're not. Thank you.
Yeah, and I don't think I will be either.
Okay.
I will not be attending the water workshop, although I will probably go to welcome the group when they get there.
Okay, but you won't need to be registered, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you about hotel room, probably just the one night. But,
okay.
But not at the end.
You're not going? Okay.
Not at the Enzian. You're not going? Hmm. Come on, Steve.
You had them all going at one time.
Yeah, they never go.
Okay. I have Commissioner Smith attending the WAPUTA Budget Committee meeting in October and the LEHI meeting in Washington, D.C. later in October. November WAPUTA meetings, I have rooms held for everyone. November 17 to 21, Commissioner Arsenault attending the Cybersecurity Summit. And I don't have any rooms yet for the December 4 through 6 annual conference.
At least I'm probably not attending the Waputo meeting in November.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll let you know. It kind of depends on their the water agenda.
Okay.
I apologize, all. I'm going to have to drop off the call now. And so we're about close to the end, and I'll catch up on anything executive session at a later point.
Thank you, okay. Randy.
Thank you, Randy.
You bet.
Okay, does anyone have any changes they'd like to make other than what we've discussed?
Lisa, I'm going to get back to you on the October 17th Budget Committee meeting. I believe I may have to go to that as a committee chair, and I'll let you know.
The October 17th?
Or the October, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. And on the back page, I've added a couple tables just for your information to help me keep track of like conference cancellations and refunds that we've requested, and keep track of whether we've received them or not, and trip cancellations if it was for personal reasons or illness, so we know if fees are district expense or personal expense. And also at the bottom, we've added a table so I can track when your expense reports are returned and signed to make sure that AP gets all of them every month. So just so you know what that's all for. Yeah. Any questions?
Okay. We will move on to the follow-up on delegation of action items. We had two. First was Rebecca was going to work with Commissioners Arsenault and Bowles on the budget revision to support the commissioner training. We've actually gone back through and checked all that, and we've concluded that there is not a need for a budget revision, that we have adequate funds there, so there is everything is good. And we'll change any scoring on that. Is that right in the balance scorecard? There was a question about that, as I recall, the board balance scorecard.
It was actually, there were two lines on our budget rendition that were, it seemed like they were similar, and I simply blended those two together.
Oh, okay.
So it was a perceptual issue on my part and not an error on anyone else's part.
Okay, good. So we'll call that all good then.
I think we're going to display those differently. Is that what
my understanding is that they're going to change some of the column titles to better clarify what exactly you're looking at.
Yeah.
So that there's no confusion going forward.
Yeah. Because who wants a confused commissioner, you know?
It's a general rule, it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
So we'll try to avoid that.
That's right.
And then Eric was going to get back to you with the two current real estate. Recall he had the presentation about real estate delegation. He's going to get back to you with the two current real estate delegation resolutions and the proposed new resolution. And in an exercise of just-in-time work that has been completed in the last 60 minutes here. So
maybe in the last 30.
So that's it for that element. Unless there are questions, I'm ready to move on to action items from this meeting. Identified two. One, the tariffs issue that came up and the impact of contracts. So we'll pursue that to take a look and just make sure that we've got a good understanding, share that with you in terms of who's carrying the risk on that, and solicit your input as to whether there is an interest in changing the way we do that.
Yeah, you know, and kind of just, you know, if I can just throw something in there, just watching in the last year, the rapid rates in which tariffs are applied and lifted, try and track that contractually, whether it's on or it's off, and how much, if it is on, is it on, and how much off, is it off, would just, I think, would be a nightmare, but that's just a thought.
So
it's kind of capricious.
I'll take that one.
And can just flip overnight.
I assume both of these are mine, but I'll take that one, and I will visit with some of the thinking teams on that, some projects, because I think there are probably pros and cons to that, and we'll try to lay those out in a document that you guys can take a look at and at least check our thinking on. I see that among others, right? I mean, there would be probably some time to audit in both instances, right? If it went up and we paid, we'd have to audit, and if we were seeking a return. So there there are people, though, that are probably much more familiar with the actual impacts of that than me, so that it will be a leadership effort, but not all me.
And our second item is just our commitment to get back with, we'll do something in writing, actually, on the GCCM process, what the benefits are, what the risks are associated with that, so you can assess that for yourself and hopefully find that simple expression that will describe what's going on with GCCM. Those are the two that we caught. Did we miss anything? I'm sorry, there was one more, actually, and that was Michelle's commitment to get back to you with respect to how things go with the Horan Natural Area, and particularly any meetings around that. So we'll capture that one, too.
Steve, just a point of clarification on that. The property that would be removed from the Horan area essentially would be approximately from the pedestrian bridge that crosses the Wenatchee, parallel lining the railroad tracks to Holly Street. Is that correct?
That's my understanding, but I have to admit that I was sitting here thinking that I wanted to go and check that to confirm. So why don't we make that a follow-up item just to be sure? Because it was not, my understanding was it was not any land that would come out of the Confluence Park. That it was just on the pedestrian bridge down. But
I was thinking, are they going to go then to the west of the storage facilities and the housing facilities there?
How about if we check? I wouldn't be able to answer that definitively, and I'd like to make sure we get you a clear answer.
I'd feel a whole lot more comfortable with a tighter definition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll make that a get back to you item two.
Yeah. And I was intrigued by the concept of perhaps a land exchange.
Yeah. Now, the other thing I would say is that there was a walking tour last week, and my understanding is that the city did not get the grant, got notification of that within the last 2 weeks. And so that they will still be proceeding to do the NEPA work, this is not on a charge ahead pace, is my understanding.
Right.
And as someone who has stayed at the Confluence campground, I will tell you it's a delightful campground. It's quiet, get up in the morning, have your coffee. All you're hearing are the geese and the birds and the wildlife. And I'm just afraid that if we put a road that goes past a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit, that most of that will be lost. It's my personal opinion, my personal bias.
To give you an idea, Gary, we live, as you well know, right next to Western Avenue. Sometimes early in the morning I get up and I go out on my deck to have coffee, and I can hear Wenatchee Avenue. And that's exactly a mile away.
Okay, so that's it for our action items.
Okay.
We're back to you.
I do not see any public for public comment. So I think we'll move right into executive session. We need executive session to discuss with legal counsel agency enforcement actions, litigation, potential litigation to which the district or its board is or is likely to become a party, and or legal risks as authorized by RCW, and review the performance of a public employee as authorized also by the RCW. We need about 45 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so 45 minutes with a 5-minute break. Okay, good. It is August 5th, 2019. No decisions were made, no votes were taken. Is there any additional business to come before the commission? Hearing none, we shall stand adjourned.